asking around on the Discord and the Tumblr and the Twitter about what kind of holiday content you guys would like. The thing that overwhelmingly won was me talking about holiday movies. So here you go. I don't know if this is because I talked very drunkenly about romance novels on one of our drunken podcasts, which, by the way, I realized listening back that I said I was going to give you my top five and I stopped after three because I got drunk and distracted. Hashtag on brand. So talking really briefly about holiday movies, people love or hate holiday movies. Listen, I get it. And we all have very strong feelings about them. Also, I get it. Fundamentally, holiday movies are trope fests, like every single one of them is. I think G.K. Chesterton is very famous for saying there are only, you know, five different stories that people tell. And we all just keep recycling them over and over and over again. I mean, Joseph Campbell has the hero's journey and he kind of broke that all down. Chesterton just says it a little bit more succinctly. And Christmas, like holiday movies are no different. There are not a lot of great holiday movies that don't involve Christmas. And obviously I talked about this earlier in the pod, that both like doesn't surprise me at all and infuriates me in equal measure. So really quick, if you're curious as to the ones that I gravitate towards every year, got a couple quick ones for you. First of all is White Christmas. One thing to say, like it's a movie of its time. And I would just encourage you to fast forward through everything about the minstrel show. Just like go ahead and give that a pass. But it is one of my favorite movies of all time, because it is so purely itself. It is completely ridiculous. And the songs are all amazing. And Rosemary Clooney could literally, like, she's vocal butter like that. Oh, yes, thank you. Although I have serious questions about why the gloves were needed in the nightclub scene. We can talk about that on Discord. The second is the new Jim Carrey Grinch. I understand this is controversial. We also love the cartoon version in the Flame family. But the Grinch, the newfangled Grinch, the Jim Carrey, Ron Howard one is kind of sacrosanct in our family. And this brings up a really important thing. A huge part of holiday movies are the emotions around them rather than the quality of the film, more so than some other genres of movies or categories of movies. A lot of us have memories watching this with family or with friends at certain times. Like the Grinch may not be a great movie, but it's one of my favorites because I have incredible memories with my family watching it. My brother also does a bang on Grinch impression. And I have a real thing for Christine Baranski, and she's hilarious in that movie. I just have to fast forward through Taylor Momsen singing every time, because like Tiny Moppets singing is not my jam. Moving on, Love Actually is a Christmas movie. I will hear absolutely no arguments. I watch it every Christmas since it came out in the year of our Lord, 2003. Lots of theories. I never watch any of the storylines about the condom guy. He's creeptastic. My absolute favorite storyline is Hugh Grant and the secretary. I understand that that is a power dynamic, problematic situation. I don't care. It's never going to happen in real life. It didn't happen to me in real life. I find it charming. Also, there were more than one lobster present at the birth of Jesus. Please tell me how that's not hilarious. I also love that it shows the heartbreak and the hardness of the holiday. I've been in some of the like character, you know, situations. But if anyone ever asks me to describe what heartbreak looks like, I talk about Emma Thompson opening the necklace that's not for her from Alan Rickman. Oh, heartbreaking. Miracle on 34th Street, it's got to be the original one and it's got to be in black and white. I will hear no arguments. Gotta love Elf, the world's best coffee, all the food groups, Zooey Deschanel singing in the bathroom, lots to love about Elf. Lots and lots to love about The Holiday, which is one that is a classic. I actually get asked to rewrite this as Stoney, probably, I don't know, once a month at this point now. And it's on my trope, my movie fest prompt list. I loathe Cameron Diaz with the heat of a nova, and she does not ruin this movie for me. So it's truly delightful. I love it. It's the best Jack Black performance for my money. And Jude Law with those two daughters, I mean, I don't like care about children or having them. I mean, I care about children. Come on now. But like, that doesn't really do things for me. But like, oh, my ovaries like exploded at that scene in the tent. Come on. Another thing about holiday movies is family. So the pièce de résistance of Christmas movies for me is The Muppet Christmas Carol. I quote it year round. Anytime someone says Muppets to me, I will say light the lamp, not the rat. It's just amazing. There goes Mr. Humbug. There goes Mr. Yeah, guys, I love it. I also love Charlie Brown Christmas for nostalgia factors. I watch it every Christmas. Actually wrote a paper on it in seminary. Love Charlie Brown Christmas. Now, the Hallmark, Netflix, Lifetime, BET, Oprah's network, explosion of holiday movies on the television. I could go on and on about them for a long time, but I want to tell you the two best for my money are The Nine Lives of Christmas, which is several years old, but stars Brandon Routh, who was Superman in the 2006 Superman movie, as a firefighter who accidentally adopts a cat, excuse me, who in our fandom is not going to love this, and is trying desperately to paint his house with the right shade of white. It's precious. And a woman who loves cats and is a little bit of a disaster, and then they fall in love. It's amazing. And then this year's One Royal Holiday, which stars Laura Osnes and Aaron Tveit. Aaron Tveit is a secret prince. Who doesn't love those? She's like at a bed and breakfast. Who cares? It's perfect. Also, shout honorable mention for the Robert Downey Jr. flick Kiss Kiss Bang Bang, which takes place at Christmas and therefore can slide in. Some movies do not qualify for me as Christmas movies, but they still take place at Christmas. Kiss Kiss Bang Bang is on that edge for me. I am not in the camp that Die Hard is a Christmas movie. You can at me all you want. You're not going to convince me it's a Christmas movie, because part of Christmas movie is the tropes and the nostalgia and the way it works. And it's not, it doesn't work like that. Speaking of things that don't work like that, Last Christmas, this abomination that came out last year starring Daenerys Targaryen, guys, it's not, no. Holiday movies need to end happily with good feelings and warm fuzzies. That movie does not. See, also, It's a Wonderful Life. I hate that movie. It's depressing. We spend half the time, like, no, why are we doing this? Why am I being sad during a movie? If I'm already, why am I doing this? Again, I respect that you may love it. You can at me. You're not like, this is fine. This is a Flame Talks Christmas movies kind of situation. You do not have to agree with me, except for the fact that The Muppet Christmas Carol is the greatest Christmas movie. And on that front, you must agree.
Before we get going on your views on holidays in Community Talks, the organizers of the What to Finish auction for Philippine Cyclone Relief would like us to tell you that they raised $2,400 all from their fandom works. That's amazing. Yay! Yay!
We're both so happy that that was able to happen.
Congratulations on an event well done, and I can't wait to see what comes out of it.
Absolutely. I already got my art from one of the auctions I won, and it made all of my dreams come true. So I'm sure everyone will feel the same way about their auctions, and we can't wait to read the good works from it.
So we asked around in the server and on our social media about what kinds of holiday traditions or celebrations or activities you guys like to get up to. But before we get into that, I know, Flame, you promised you would tell some of yours. So what kind of things do you do this time of year? I know they're really important to you.
They are, because I'm a cheese ball and so is my family. But the biggest thing is that this time of year is when we kind of work out our Danish heritage the most, I think. So there's some very specific Scandinavian holiday traditions that we do. And when I was growing up, we would spend Christmas with my dad's side of the family, who are all Danish. And the number one thing is this idea of hiding a nut in a dessert. Mm-hmm. So in Denmark, my relatives who still live in Copenhagen use rice pudding, and everybody gets a dish of rice pudding, and whoever has the almond in the rice pudding wins a prize and bragging rights forever. Mm-hmm. / for the year. So my family does it with chocolate pudding because my grandma had a thing against rice pudding. She couldn't stand it.
Valid.
But the competition for who wins the nut is the fiercest thing in that side of my family. And who wins it for the year gets a Russell Stover's chocolate Santa, and to take home the Christmas cup for the year, which is this like tin literally like just like a little tin cup, but we all put it in this place of honor on our shelves if we win for the year. There's specific rules around trading. There's like, it's a whole thing, and we won't get to do it this year, which makes us all pretty sad. And then there's
maybe you could do some sort of digital nut hiding experience, some sort of nut lottery.
A nut lottery. Oh, maybe I'll need some creativity on that front.
Yeah.
I'm not that kind of creative, but yeah, the Christmas nut, like I have friends from college that will, I don't talk to for the rest of the year, but they will still message me around Christmas and be like, so who won the nut this year?
When's the last time you won the nut?
Oh, 2 years ago.
Nice.
And then my brother won it last year, and my sister-in-law won it the year before me. So it has been in our side of the family, and living on our, the rest of my family lives in New Jersey, and then we live in Pennsylvania. So this is now also the Battle of the Rivers.
Right.
So it has been on the proper side of the river for several years now, which is where it should be. So yeah. And then we've got one that I like a lot too, that is German, I believe, but also in Scandinavia, because I've got some Danish relatives that do it, where you put live candles on the tree, and very carefully, we have like buckets of sand and fire extinguishers and all of that. And everybody gets to light one in grief for something that passed and in hopes of something that is coming. And it's a really centering activity for me personally, and something that I look forward to every year. Even the years that we did Christmas with Mr. Flame's family in Northern Ireland, I would do a tiny little kind of ceremony for myself around this one, to kind of really think about what the year was. I mean, this year mourning things is not going to be difficult, but I think it's going to be harder for some of us to hold to hope and what that kind of looks like, and how we work that out. And so that'll be a huge part of my discipline as I keep Advent, and what that kind of looks like. So the other silly ones, like you guys just heard all of my stuff, my feelings about movies. I have some obviously strong feelings about those, but I do the same thing some of the people in our server talked about, where you open one gift on Christmas Eve. A couple people talked about that. Moody talked about ornaments. Ornaments are really important to us too. And I think that's the same for a lot of people I know, where we get like significant ornaments, not all matching ones from Target kind of situation. That seems to be a common thing. A couple people mentioned that. Then what, do you remember what else people talked about?
There were a lot of specific foods and drinks that people mentioned, you know, like Christmas Eve dinner is a common one for everyone to have a specific meal, but not for it to be the same from family to family.
Yeah, that's true.
So I mentioned in the previous one that we always had cheese fondue, which I didn't like as a kid. But then so for me, I always had like a fasting night where I just eat a little bread and some pickles before, and everyone else ate fondue. I like it now as an adult person, though Kirsch is still disgusting. But
yeah, it's not for me either.
There were several drinks, hot chocolate and apple cider were mentioned, as well as drinking custard, which
sounds vanilla-y. Both delightful and disturbing.
Yeah, like kind of an eggnog-y sort of thing. I mean, I honestly have never had eggnog, so I can't.
Oh, I get it every year. I get one like small container of it from Wawa every year, and that's it for me. That's enough.
It but, sounds like I do a have it once a year. Horror show for the lactose intolerant.
Oh, yes. But living in this part of the world kind of is a horror show for the lactose intolerant.
Yeah,
so
it's true.
I'm not,
you know, if I'm willing to eat ice cream, I should be willing to. There's something about drinking something. I think it's because when you eat something, the like you take the lactose pills at the same time as you eat it, and it's fine. But I'm a sipper. I don't like chug anything. So I have this horrible feeling that I would keep sipping on it for too long.
Fair. Although I'll tell you, room temperature eggnog is one of the abominations of man.
Okay. So, any drink that becomes disgusting at room temperature is not going to be something that I like in general. So no, thank you.
Yeah, no, we'll keep it from you. That's fine. More for me.
We had lighting the menorah mentioned, eating fried foods. Lots of people talked about board games, either specific board games or just the fact that the holidays meant their whole family was home, and therefore they could play board games together, which was something that was harder to organize during the year.
From some of our UK and Irish listeners too, and there is the conversations around the Christmas specials that happen around every year, very specifically.
Yes.
Like the Doctor Who Christmas special. Mm-hmm. I know Mr. Flame wanted me to put in the Late Late Toy Show from Ireland. It is not Christmas for him without the Late Late Toy Show. which is an institution in that country. So lots of those kind of things. It's fun. The things that we all, like all of us who celebrate this holiday, there are so many things that we share, like, you know, versions of, but there are really distinct ones in different cultures. Like we learned, for instance, from Kat, that there's a, some sort of lead metal based divination tradition.
We'll link it in the show notes because I think you need to kind of see the picture, but the idea seems to be that you melt a little bit of lead in a melting cup and pour it out, and the shapes that it makes are, that's how you can tell the future. So I guess, you know, you tell each other. I think it's a great time of year to tell people's fortunes
because you think it's really what next year's
going to bring. So that's cool. And I'm a little distressed about the use of lead. I don't know, maybe somebody who knows more about lead poisoning can tell me if that's worrisome or not, but perhaps in small amounts, it's fine.
Yeah. What I loved so much about it was that when she shared it in the server, she said, like, as though we would all know what it was. And this isn't a shade on her at all. I love that. I love that it is so universal where she is and so enjoyed and personal there. It would be assumed that everyone celebrates it.
Yes. You must be able to buy stuff for it, which, you know,
I wonder if there are kids.
You can do that here. Yeah.
Yeah. I love this. I love this so much. I know I have a friend who is Sri Lankan, and when she celebrates Christmas in Sri Lanka, there are all these very specific foods that she eats that look completely different from mine. And she was here once for Christmas and she kept asking me where we got mango tart. And I was like, in Sri Lanka. We don't do that here.
That's like some of our Southern Hemisphere friends said that a popular Christmas family activity is a water gun fight.
Oh yes, that would not happen in either where you or I live without trips to the emergency room.
Yep, that would be an ER situation, but it does sound fun.
Yeah, my friends and I, not in fandom, but I'm in a circle of friends I have on Marco Polo, we are all having a massive joking fight right now about what meat, like what protein is appropriate for Christmas dinner.
Okay, like turkey versus ham or?
Turkey, roast beef, ham, brisket.
Okay.
Chicken, or like venison.
Oh. All right.
And it is very like dependent on where you grew up in the country. Like I have friends that are throwing down that any of us who don't eat brisket on Christmas do not actually love the baby Jesus. And I'm like, well then.
Interesting.
Have I been led astray for 37 years? Because never in a day.
Venison feels festive-y to me.
Yeah, I could get behind venison for sure. I'm sure there are parts of the country in parts of North America where bison is eaten on Christmas.
Yeah.
Just not in my family. We are a ham on Christmas family.
Bison is always burgers to me, maybe because it's easier to transport that way. I've never had like a bison roast.
We have tried to make it into, we have tried to put it into tacos and we have tried to put it into spaghetti bolognese and it has not worked.
Yeah. Well, it's always like minced, right? Like,
but we do those things with mince. It's not, it tastes My
no,
brother.
But I'm saying like you can only buy it as a mince. I've never seen it available as not either minced or jerky, at least where I am.
Yeah, no, we've only seen it minced or in made burgers.
Yeah.
But yeah, no, we've not seen it any other way. But yeah, we've tried to use it like you would use mince and we have not been successful.
It's probably a fat ratio. Probably.
That's our thought because it doesn't like grip, like the way my brother said it this week, because they tried to do bison tacos instead of their turkey tacos that they do every week. And it didn't grip any of the seasoning.
Ah, interesting.
Yeah. So he was like, it just tasted like meat and quesadillas. And I was like, oh, that's not pleasant. He was like, no, we did not enjoy it. We ordered pizza.
All right. Total side note. If anyone has a great bison recipe.
Seriously, we could put it in the potluck recipe book if someone knows how to cook bison really well.
Totally.
So all in all, I think we talked about this in mood and I talked about it in the, in like throughout this whole episode, but a huge part of the holidays is physically how they make you feel. And a lot of these traditions are about sense memories and emotional memories. And, you know, we as humans craft our lives around traditions. They're really important to a lot of us and we live in certain rhythms and that's really important. And I want to acknowledge just very briefly, not to dwell at all, but we know that for a lot of people, including some folks that have shared with us in fandom, that the rhythms of this year include grief, of this time of year deeply include grief. And I just want to say that if that is true for you, please never feel like you have to participate in the holiday with the rest of us. We do not need you to be jolly for us. We do not need you to perform festiveness for us. As there are places within fandom where we will hold your grief as well. Never feel like you have to be a part of this if this is not something that rings true for you. I know the ubiquitousness of Christmas right now can be oppressive. And I want to acknowledge that and also just say, you know, if you've got to run away for a little bit, run away for a little bit. Like, fandom will be here when you get back. But one of my favorite services that we used to do in a church that I went to in Texas was the Blue Christmas service, where the Sunday before Christmas, all of us kind of gathered and grieved and mourned, either for people that lost loved ones at time of, and the time of year was hard, or just the year was a shithole and we needed to kind of acknowledge that. If you're having a Blue Christmas and not in the Elvis Presley way, like, you know, I see you. And know that we understand that that's part of traditions too.
We also want to say that we know this year in particular might be a challenge. A lot of people aren't going to be able to do the traditions they're used to or be with family that they want to be with or any other number of roadblocks in the way of whatever this season means to you. But I also think that you can find, as we talked about, it is about the feeling. It's about the sense memories and the emotions it creates in you. So there are ways sometimes that you can kind of get around the restrictions by finding a twist on the traditions that you know and love. Maybe you don't have room in your place for a tree and you'd normally go home to your parents' house to celebrate with their tree, but you can buy, you can get tiny trees that sit on a table, or maybe you can make one out of construction paper. The first year that my parents moved out, they had zero money. They bought this pack of, they were like balsa wood decorations, and you popped them out and they popped them all out and they painted all of them. And it was the only ornaments they had on their teeny little tree. But it was about the feeling of having the tree and decorating it. So maybe buy a string of lights and wrap them around your monitor at home, or do a Zoom call with the people you miss, light a candle, whatever gets the feeling in you. Hopefully you can find a way to make the holidays special for you and your family this year, even if it's not quite the same as it normally is.
We hope that our conversation about this has maybe helped in that process. We will certainly be around our server throughout the holidays because I'm not doing any of the traditions I just listed. So if you're looking for a chatting partner, I know I'll be around, and a lot of us will be. No matter what this time of year normally means for you or what it is going to mean for you in the next bunch of weeks, there are lots of fandom opportunities to celebrate in a way. There are stocking events and bingos and all sorts of things. And we are going to talk about our bingo in the next section, Life of an Event.
Welcome back to Life of an Event. Since the last time we talked, we've opened for Phil's.
We are incredibly encouraged by how enthusiastic everybody is, for sure. I was laughing last night a little bit as we're recording this on the day we opened Phil's. And I was giggling to myself last night watching the server, the people who were very angry that we lived in a different time zone than them. And we're therefore opening Phil's in our time zone. We already have some incredible stories and some wonderful art. And we are just over 12 hours into the collection being open.
By the time you guys hear this, it'll have been open for just about a week, just a little under a week. And so hopefully we'll have even more. It was actually really fun having the gap between people getting their cards and Phil's opening being a couple of weeks, because it was really fun to see people get excited and trying to keep things a secret. And a couple of people amassed a few fills that they were sitting on. And I think it just drives some of that excitement just drives a lot of positivity for people. And I think it'd be possible to stretch that gap too long and have people lose interest, but having a little bit of a gap there, I think, was motivating for people. It sort of feels like you're part of a secret club a little bit, because like, everybody's working together, but in secret to get their stuff ready. And then we're all excited to see what it's going to be.
Yeah. And I got a couple DMs that were like, can you look at this and tell me if it's going to be okay? And I was like, I don't want to, I can't post anywhere because it's totally in secret. And I was like, first of all, it's going to be okay. This is the lowest maintenance bingo you'll ever be in. And two, I will be delighted to. It's like, it's, yeah, it's like being part of a secret little club that we're all working towards the same thing, which is more Steve Tony Bucky fan works. Please. I also am already having a ton of fun seeing how people are using their squares.
Yes, a lot of creativity, even just with a couple of things we've seen so far.
So far, and a couple of them, I'm like, wow, that's not the direction I would have taken it at all. That's so much fun. Yeah, can't wait. Can't wait to see what comes next.
From a mod perspective, in some ways, this is kind of the hardest stage to stay engaged with from an administrative point of view, because we've done the bulk of it. And we just have to keep an eye and make sure that anybody who still signs up from now until signups are fully closed gets their card in a prompt fashion, and that anyone who asks for changes gets those responses back as well. And it's exciting to get caught up in the buzz of the fills and to read what people made and to be filling your own card and posting. And so like just from a modly advice perspective, it's important to remember that there is, while it's much slower, there is, that's in some ways that makes it harder because you have to remember to actively go and look and make sure that people are being served as they need to be. And so that's something to keep in mind. And because it does continue on for quite some time, you also have to, as a mod team, be aware that people are going to, by people, I mean the mod team itself, each member of the mod team is going to have times when they're cycling in and out over the lengthy period of time that the event is run. And so everyone kinds of ebbs and flows in when they're able to put in a lot of time and when they're not. And that's just kind of the nature of mod teams. But also, once again, as we've said many times about running events, all the more reason to have a couple of people.
Yeah, and this is a bingo in particular, which is a very long-term event. You know, exchanges are different. Like everything, every event topic has its own kind of quirks. Mm-hmm. And one of the things with the bingo is they tend to be longer, and they tend to be the longest ones in my experience in fandom. And one of the benefits of that is if you have a communal space, like a Discord server or a Dreamwith community or what have you, other people can answer your questions too for you. Like as a mod team, you kind of get like pseudo deputy mods.
There's like a community support, and the more information gets spread around, the more people absorb it, the more they reflect it to other people. And it just becomes a constantly like reaffirming rule situation.
Yeah. And it also becomes like everybody gets excited about creating within the boundaries you've already set. Mm-hmm. And so they own the boundaries as well.
Right.
And like, there's definitely ways that that can be dicey. You've got to watch, like we've all run events. Like, I don't think I've talked to a single mod ever who has run an event that hasn't had misinformation get out there because of enthusiasm. And so it's something you have to, you know, keep an eye on. But for me personally, and I think Farid agrees, the pros of having a community create that knowledge, it outweighs the cons.
Yeah, for sure.
And so in a bingo in particular, it's great because especially we're going to have people with multiple people with the same squares.
Yes.
So that's going to be great. The brainstorming aspect is great. We've gotten a lot of questions of like, well, how, like, what if I don't know what to do with my square? And I'm like, fantastic. Join the Discord server. Like you have no, or in whatever Discord server you are in, on Tumblr, on Twitter, like find a friend. Like the internet wants to tell you how to write things because we all want to sound smart. So find a corner of the internet, ask what you should do with this square, and then go do it.
Yeah.
By the time we talk to you again, it will still be in Phil's. So I don't entirely know if we'll do another life of an event for a little while, guys.
Yeah, there might be a gap. Just, you know, we'll talk to you again if something happens that we want to share, or when we get to sort of the generic card transition, then we'll definitely be back to talk about that for sure.
But that transitions at the end of January, so we'll probably put life of an event to bed for a little bit, and we'll see you when it's time.
That being said, though, if you guys ever have questions about how we're running an event, or, you know, from the life of an event perspective, if you have anything from behind the scenes besides tea, which we won't spill, that you want to know, you can always ask us and we'll throw in a little special life of an event to answer your question.
And in the meantime, if you're considering running an event, not a bingo, of your own, and you've got questions about other kinds of events, we can turn this into an advice column pretty easily. So let us
know. But also check out our bonus episode we did about running events if you haven't already, and that might answer some of your questions already. So we'll see you next time.
Hi, fandom. I'm Only More Love, back with your events forecast. Today, I'll be sharing some info with you about what's going on, challenge-wise, in a Marvel fandom near you. Here's the usual note before I start with the current events. You'll be able to find everything I mention in this forecast linked and explained in the show notes of each episode over on podonthesuit.com. Let's move on to the fun stuff. Feeling the holiday magic yet? If so, the Marvel Holiday Fest, a prompt fest based on holiday movie plots accepting all ships and without minimum requirements, is still open for fills until January 31st. Give us some mistletoe in remote castles or fake holiday dating. The Go Bang Yourself Bang signups stay open until December 31st. So if you're feeling brave, go for it and create art or fic for an existing fic or art piece of yours. A new community bingo has also been started by the Marvelous Aces blog on Tumblr. To subvert traditionally romantic tropes, or tropes that tend to explicit content, with A-spec characters, check out their Marvelous Aces holiday bingo card. Alongside its yearly holiday exchange, the Cap IM community is once again hosting its Cap IM holiday community prompts, open for fills until December 27th. No minimums. There are literally hundreds of prompts, so we're sure that you'll find your fit. And you're also not obligated to follow the prompts to the letter. So, you know, there's even more room for fun. The Calm also announced its annual set of remix events. Signups for the Remix Exchange and the Remix Relay will go on from December 7th to December 21st, with a due date of February 7th for the exchange. All reveals for the relay and exchange will be starting by February 16th. Remix Madness, a remix fest, will also go on starting January 10th and through February 20th. Madness has no minimum requirements and is open to all types of fan works. It's open also to all ages, whereas the relay and exchange are 18 plus events. For any questions on how remixing a work goes, please check out the detailed post on the Cap Iron Man community. And because it's that time of year again, the Put on the Suit server is also hosting a second round of its Stony Stockings, and today is the last day to sign up to hang yours on our collective mantelpiece to get some great little gifts come February 13th. If you're not already on the server, you'll find an invite link in our server in the appropriately named Links to Other Servers channel. The STB Steve Tony Bucky Bingo is also still open for personalized card requests until January 31st. If you miss that mark, however, you'll still be able to request a generic card from February 1st through May 31st. The round itself has opened for fills on the 1st of this month. It's time to post all the good content, friends. All combinations of Steve, Bucky, and Tony are allowed, so you get to play with no less than 4 ships in any medium you want, and without requirements other than responsible tagging. Enjoy! This is also a reminder that the Winter Iron Week is back with new mods. Go check out the page and get ready to create amazing fan works for the prompts to post from December 14th through December 20th. The Winter Iron Reverse Bang artist signups close December 10th, so don't miss out. Submissions are open until January 3rd, with claims happening on January 9th, and posting scheduled to start by March 1st. Just a reminder as well that the Brucemas Week will be happening from December 14th to December 21st. So if you ship either or both of our boys with Bruce and his green pal, have fun. Also, as announced last episode, a Very Darcy Advent Bingo will be running for the entirety of December. So likewise, if you ship Steve Darcy or Tony Darcy or a Polly variation of these three, go for it. And finally, the Marvel Scramble is also back for a holiday edition. Sign up through their Google form and throw in two characters and a trope, and you may end up creating something for Tony or Steve, or for a totally unexpected set of characters, depending on what other participants throw in Santa's hat. Well, friends, that brings us to the end of your events forecast. Thank you so much for listening. We hope you'll join us again next episode. But until then, happy shipping.
Thanks again to Bleshnik for the use of their art and to Only and Marie for tag teaming on the events forecast.
Everyone who shared their traditions warmed our hearts as well. We know this year is fucking weird, obviously, and all of our rhythms are different. Farrah and I both wish you and yours a safe season. And in the words of the inimitable Judy Garland, we'll have to muddle through somehow in the hopes that next year our troubles will be out of sight.
We'll be back one more time before the end of the year to talk about fandom goal setting and our plans for 2021. In the meantime, if you listen somewhere that's not our website, please rate and review us, especially on iTunes. This helps people find us. You can get in touch with us across any of our socials, drop an anonymous fandom feeling or holiday message, or comment directly on the episode on our website as well.
That's all for now, friends. We'll see you in 2 weeks for episode 20. You've been listening to Pod on the Suit. Thanks for joining us.